Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
I've been working with a nurse dietitian for the last 6 months, and it's been life-changing. I've lost weight, healed my relationship with food, and have way more energy. Working with a dietitian online to create a personalized nutrition plan was so easy thanks to Nourish. The best part? I pay $0 out of pocket because Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
What's going on, everybody, and good morning. Today is Wednesday, April 16th, and this is your daily Go Birds morning update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. And finally, we have some quotes from real live Eagles power people. Howie, Nick, they talked Tuesday about the NFL draft. Feels like it's been forever since we heard from them. That is the one downside to the offseason. Feels like we go weeks and weeks without hearing from the backbone of the franchise on what they have to say. So they did talk on Tuesday. We're going to get into that. Howie talked about a bunch of stuff. Nick was even asked a few questions. And then on the other side, Mel Kiper and Field Yates, probably ESPN's two best draft people, predicted the Eagles' first three draft picks for next Thursday's draft. Crazy, we're basically a week away at this point. So we'll get into that on the other side of the commercials. But let's dive right into the big news of the day. First, I did want to tell you guys something cool, though. So WIP is having a Brandon Graham day. We are honoring Brandon Graham, obviously, player and person, deserves to be honored. I mean, I think probably the greatest Eagle of all time, just in terms of like being an Eagle. Obviously, I think Jason Kelsey's in that mix. Brian Dawkins is in that mix. Donovan McNabb's in that mix. But I think BG, just for what he's meant to the community, what he's done for the city, the player, all those things, arguably the greatest Eagle of all time. And WIP is going to honor him on Brandon Graham Day. And we're doing it on 5-5, May 5th. So make sure you check out the station that day. We're going to have all types of stuff about Brandon Graham. But also, we're going to have BG Live that night where Joe DeCamera is going to interview Brandon Graham about his career, everything he went through as a player, and talk about some of the behind-the-scenes stuff that maybe we haven't heard about. And now that he's retired, he can talk about. So go to WIP.com. Make sure you get some tickets for that. Going to be very cool. I feel like I'll probably be there, so we can hang out if you come to Brandon Graham Live. So make sure you check that out. Now, Howie Roseman, Nick Sirianni spoke to the media on Tuesday to talk about the upcoming NFL draft. I think it's important with these press conferences to remember at this point, their job is essentially to, I don't want to say mislead, but like they don't want people to know what they're going to do in the draft. They want other teams to see this press conference and think like, could they, you know, if Howie says, oh, we're definitely really interested in trading up, like, is that true? Talk about prospects. Do they really like them? So Howie doesn't want people to know what they're going to do. So just take everything, I guess he says, with a little bit of a grain of salt. And look, rightfully so. This is how he should handle it. I don't think he's being, misleading in a negative way. I think he's misleading in a smart way. So I think of all the press conferences you hear all year, this is the one where they are most incentivized not to tell the truth. So that being said, there were some questions I thought that were more big picture that was interesting. And one of which was Howie talking about the value of the top 30 visits, both for the draft and for the future. So here's Howie Roseman talking about how much the Eagles value these top 30 visits.
I think that we have changed a little bit in how we approach the top 30, and Like everything, it's an information gathering process for us. The whole draft process is gathering information, constantly gathering information. Nick and I are on the phone all the time talking to people that we know in college football, trying to get to know these guys as well as we can so we can make good decisions. So for us, it's really just trying to fill in a lot of the blanks. And the more we get to know people, the more that we expose them to not only us, but people around us, the better we get a feel for them. So we think they're incredibly valuable for us. You know, obviously everyone's got their own way of looking at things. But at the same time, we only have 30 of them. So we got to do more work on a lot more guys in this draft than just the 30 guys that come here. But we like that process, and we really like involving everyone in the building. You know, we have a really good building. We have really good people who have good instincts on people, good instincts in their field, and being able to utilize those people in our building, see how they operate with the people that they would have to be dealing with every day, we think is a valuable part of the process.
Yeah, I think, you know, the proof's in the pudding with this one. If you look at who the Eagles draft, it is almost always guys from the top 30 visits. And that's smart. I mean, if you look at the last really big miss they had, Andre Dillard. Andre Dillard fell to them unexpectedly. They really only started to get to know him the week of the draft. I think Jeff Stoutland like talked to him the morning of, trying to get a read on him. And they drafted him and it didn't work out. Now, I don't think it's the sole reason the pick didn't work out, but I think there's no question when you get someone in the building and you get to know him better and you get to see him around your coaches, you get to watch how he interacts with people, you get to put him in different situations, I think you get a better read on him. And with such a valuable pick, I think it's smart that they really value the top 30 visits. But not just that, like, I mean, Howie talked about how, you know, they'll make 8 picks in this year's draft and they would have done research on 500 players. So I think it's important, even if you don't draft these guys, that if you have someone for your top 30 visit, like maybe in 2 years that ends up mattering. Maybe in 4 years he's available via trade, but you had that experience with him. So I do think it's smart to value those top 30 visits. Howie was also asked about, you know, why he likes trading so much. If you look at, I think he's probably the most active GM over the past few years in terms of trades. Now, not all massive trades. Some are just moving back 4 spots and then moving back again, or maybe moving up around. But he's definitely been very aggressive. So here's Howie talking about why he's so aggressive on the trade market.
When maybe that's the example of being an outsider and looking at the league. When I was studying it before I got into the league, and then coming into the league and understanding that there was opportunities to maybe get aggressive, with that also comes risk, right? You know, all those moves don't always work out, and it's probably more conservative to just stand pat, you know, stay where you are, whether it's with players on your team or during the draft, and kind of see what comes to you. You know, when you trade up in a draft, you got to deal with the consequences of who ends up being there with the slot you move out on. And sometimes you say, man, I could have sat there and got this player. And so you have to deal with that too. You know, for me, I think that being aggressive has always been part of my DNA, and feel fortunate that I have people around me who support that, Coach Jeffrey, and it allows us to take chances and to try to be aggressive.
I think the line in there that Eagles fans will love is, you know, it's in my DNA. Like, he's able to be aggressive. It's who he is. And also he talked about, like, you can be aggressive when you have an owner that allows you to be aggressive. When you have a head coach, not that there's really much Nick could do about it, but that is supportive of him being aggressive. And Nick himself, I think, is, you know, a somewhat aggressive guy when it comes to obviously going for it on fourth downs, and clearly an emotional guy as well. So, yeah, I think you will see Howie make trades. I think it was Adam Schefter that said a few weeks ago he would guarantee the Eagles are going to make a trade. I think that's a smart guarantee to make. Howie is going to be active. I think he's way more likely to trade up than trade out. If you look in 2018, the last time they picked with the last pick of the first round, they only had 5 picks in that year's draft. This year, they have 8 picks. So could they trade out? Of course, they absolutely could. But I think it's more likely they trade up and go get someone they like, as opposed to sitting back and then just trading out of the pick. I think they want to add a high value player in this draft. Howie also said that, you know, every year they never have 32 first round grades, and they don't have it this year. So if they sit at 32, now we don't know which players they had graded, and I'm sure no matter who they take, they will say they had a first round grade. But I think it's more likely they move up into the, you know, high 20s, like 21, 22, and go get someone they really like, as opposed to sitting back and not being aggressive. That's just not really who Howie is. Speaking of trades, Howie Roseman was asked about Dallas Goedert, who remains on the roster, still hasn't been traded, hasn't been released. And Howie was asked about Goedert. So here's what he had to say about the Super Bowl champion, Dallas Goedert.
The way we look at the draft is it's a separate entity to anything else that's going on. We got to make good decisions in the draft based on who the players are that are available in the draft. We can't make up any positions and make them better than they're not. We have to really have a true process. So it really doesn't affect us. We try to do as much as we can at any position in free agency to try to make sure that we're not in a position where there is needs. Of course, we're not a perfect team, and there's always going to be areas that we're looking to improve. And, you know, honestly, that's going to happen even the day after the draft. We're going to continue to have areas that when we look at our depth chart, we'll go, man, it would be great to add a player here. So the player acquisition period, this is a huge part of it, but it's certainly not the end.
So will Goedert be on the Eagles through the draft or the next few days after? I think this is another obvious clear pivot point for them. If there's a team out there that really wanted Goedert or maybe really wanted a tight end and didn't get that tight end, and now all of a sudden their interest in Goedert goes up, this will be a time for that to happen. Now, there's still the June 1st reality of this, and that they lose almost $10 million in salary cap space if they trade him prior to June 1st. If they trade him after June 1st, they gain $4 million in salary cap space. I don't think that's the end-all be-all, but there is that benefit to it. So definitely a huge next week, or 2 weeks, I guess, for Dallas Goedert and his where he'll go. Because, again, a team that could want him now, maybe because they don't get a tight end in the draft, could want him even more. So with that in mind, I wanted to ask Nick Sirianni a question. I think it was like maybe 8 questions in before he was asked a question, but I'll say this, like Nick is honest to almost like a fault, right? Like I don't think Nick's good at lying. You can tell when he's lying. Howie is a master of getting a message out in a press conference. Nick's not really there yet with that in terms of his ability to like coach speak. So I wanted to ask Nick what he looks for in a tight end, because I feel like it could give us some clues as to who they could, excuse me, wow, been a long time since I let a yawn out in the pod. You guys have to admit it has been a long time, but Nick, I wanted to ask him what he looks for in a tight end, because I do think there can be some real nuggets in there that you could pick up on in terms of who they could have interest in. So here is Nick talking about what he looks for in a tight end.
Yeah, that's a good question, Elliot. You know, a lot of things play into it. Obviously, when you're watching, it always starts with talent. But what I've come to just be fascinated about are all the things that play into, you know, and all the things that Howie and his staff look at when drafting players. I mean, they put so much stock into there's so many different things to put stock into: the player's football IQ, the player's mental, the player's health, the player's, I mean, the list goes on, and it's just a awesome process that so many people are involved in. As far as just the tight end itself, you know, you're always looking for, you naturally are going to start with, it's kind of like the receiver room. It takes, you know, you don't have to have one guy that fits all, right? You can use different pieces of a guy to help accomplish the job, whether that is in the pass game with speed or change of direction or the ability with the ball in his hand. So again, you're just trying to fill all the spots that you would use for a tight end. But then sometimes you get a tight end that is unique and you haven't used certain things with that tight end before, but you're like, well, this guy can do some receiver stuff or running back stuff or whatever it is. So our job as coaches is to take the players that we have, the talented players that we have, and find ways that make it work. But you know, naturally I always will start with their targets and the things that, you know, the balls that went their way throughout a game. And you're always looking for, I mean, anytime I'm writing reports, it feels like I say big, strong, fast, physical, tough usually succeeds. And that's pretty much the case with every position. So looking for a lot of different things, but always looking for a guy that can make plays with the ball in his hand and then have the ability to not, you know, first of all, be a factor in the run game and helping you out in the run game, which is one of the harder matchups in the NFL, right? A defensive end versus a tight end. And there's other ways around that, but then you know, not a liability in the run game also.
So unfortunately, Nick did not give the major clue in there, right? Big, tall, strong, fast, tough, like that applies to every position. But I do think it's pretty clear they are not going to draft a blocking only tight end from that answer. That if they use a high pick on a tight end, like a top two pick, top two rounds, I mean, and maybe even the third rounder, they're going to draft someone that is tall and that can catch. They're not going to be like, he's a great blocking tight end. Yeah, it's a benefit. Like Nick said, you want him to be a benefit in the running game and be able to do that. But also you want someone whose main skill is an ability to make plays after the catch and ability to catch the football. Like that's what Goddard can do. Goddard makes plays after the catch. Now he's also a great blocker, which helps, but you can hear in that answer, like they're not drafting a blocking first tight end. They are drafting a tight end that they feel can be a plus in the passing game. So we'll see how early on that happens. You know, Mason Taylor, Colson Loveland, and Tyler Warren are kind of the three first round tight ends. We'll see how that plays out in terms of where Mason Taylor goes. I think he's the one that you could maybe see drop more than projected. Maybe he makes it into the 40s or the 50s, but I think Colson Loveland and Tyler Warren will both be off the board prior to the Eagles picking at 32. But if they move up to get him, it'll be because they are great pass catching tight ends, not because of what they bring in the blocking game. All right, so finally, Howie Roseman was asked about his comment a few weeks ago on the Tom McShay show about how the Eagles won't draft players who have incidents or a history, however you want to phrase it, of violence against women. So here's Howie Roseman talking about that statement and maybe trying to clarify it a little bit.
I learned a lot about podcasts here in the last couple of weeks. I guess they can take parts of the podcast and use them and actually publicize them. You know, welcome to 2025, Howie Roseman. So I think that, you know, we have a process. We have an objective process that we use. We live in a country where you're innocent until proven guilty, you know, and so we try to abide by the judicial process. But I think, you know, to get into kind of the details of what we do, you know, that's part of our internal dynamics that I probably wouldn't want to get into, but certainly, we try to not make it subjective is basically what I would say, so that, we get in a situation where if we really like a player, we can make excuses for that player. So we try to have objective criteria when it comes to the issues that you're asking me about. But it is important to us, you know, the people that we bring in this building and that, we know we can win with really good people, and we also know that young people make mistakes in other areas. But that was one that was, you know, on my heart when I was talking about it, and something that we believe in as an organization.
So I was surprised Howie made that comment a few weeks ago, and we've talked about this on the pod, and obviously you want the Eagles to draft people that you can feel proud of rooting for. And that's obviously complicated, right? Not you know, people are not clear in like the good or the bad often, right? Like sometimes good people make mistakes, sometimes bad people do good things. So I think that what I liked about that answer, and I think really is the best way to go about this, is, you know, like a case by case basis. And I think that that is how the Eagles treat it. And despite what he said on the Tom McShay show, and despite, you know, whatever you want to take from what he said there, I think the Eagles are an organization that does a case-by-case basis. I was on the WIP afternoon show with Spike, Ike, and Fritz on Tuesday, and Ike brought up Michael Vick. Like, Michael Vick, you know, not to compare that to violence against women, but just, you know, of people that have, you know, things that have happened to them off the field. Michael Vick was a player that, you know, had been to prison, and, you know, they signed him, and Ike talked about it, how he became, like, a great example of people turning their life around. And he was able to do that in Eagles uniform. And in my time covering Michael Vick, which was short, but in the time I did, I will say, like, he walked the walk, or walked the talk, or whatever the expression is. Like, I saw him speak at so many events in the city. I saw everything he did to try to make good for, you know, what he had done. So I do think if you just draw a hard line on things, you do miss the chances to maybe get people in your organization that could change your life. And that might be a different person than when any incident happened. So I think that's ultimately how the Eagles will handle it. I think the Eagles will look at everybody as a case-by-case basis. Clearly, in this draft, you know, Mike Green out of Marshall is someone that has been accused of sexual assault twice. He has not been charged, or I don't even think questioned in any of them, but he does have that history. So the Eagles will have to look at him do their research on him. This is why Big Dom is so important to the organization. And they will figure out if he's somebody that they think fits their culture. But where I would ultimately fall in it is this. And I know that all teams have the incentive to go out and add great players, and that you can overlook things sometimes for great players because they are such great players. And they are ultimately judged on winning, and great players help you win. Just from being around Jeffrey in the time I have, and I'm not spending hours and hours with him every year, but I am around him quite a bit over the past 12 years, whatever it is. I do think that Jeffrey has a good moral compass. And so if the Eagles bring somebody in their building, I'm not saying they're going to be perfect. I'm not saying every person they bring in is like, you know, an amazing like Boy Scout, right? But like, I do think he has a good moral compass when it comes to making the best judgment call you can. So we will see what they end up doing in this year's draft, and it'll be lots of moves for the future, right? Like seeing when they make these decisions on draft night. But I do think that the Eagles have a good read on this. No one will be perfect. Nobody is perfect. But I think I like that they do it on a case-by-case basis so they get to know the person and the details of the incident instead of having a wide-sweeping rule on that one. So that was their press conference, you know, not a ton to take away, but I thought those were the most interesting things that they had to say. So on the other side, we'll continue with our daily mock draft as we inch closer and closer. Now we're up to 3-round mock drafts. You got to love that. So on the other side, Mel Kiper and Field Yates predict who the Eagles will take with their first three picks. But first, a word from our sponsor.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max 1 offer per account.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
So we've already done a Mel Kiper mock draft here. And as I said, I think Mel Kiper, the GOAT of the mock draft, the NFL draft godfather, one might say. Certainly, I think, over my time, like, I think he's the best that I've seen do it. So whenever he does a mock draft, it always feels like a newsworthy event when his draft comes out. And then Field Yates, I think, does an awesome job for him too. So in a recent mock draft on ESPN.com, Mel Kiper and Field Yates picked alternating picks for the first 3 rounds of the NFL draft, and as a result, predicted who the Eagles would take at number 32, number 64, and number 96. And small thing, I like that the Eagles' picks are just like where they are. I feel like normally it's like they have pick 32, pick 47, pick 63. There's something nice and calming about 32, 64, 96. Just boom, boom, boom. Anyway, so who do they have the Eagles picking at number 32? Drum roll, no real drum roll. Jahad Campbell, linebacker out of Alabama. Mel Kiper makes this pick for the Eagles, and Mel Kiper writes, "Combining Campbell with Zach Bond and Nakobe Dean on the second level would make defensive coordinator Vic Fangio smile. Campbell does it all. He finished last season with 111 tackles, 11 and a half tackles for loss, 5 sacks and an interception. The Super Bowl winning defense saw a lot of turnover earlier in the offseason, but Campbell has the toolbox to contribute in multiple ways." So I think at 32, you just take the best player and you figure it out. And any great player will be an impact player. That being said, Like, he's not going to be on the field with Jahad Campbell's not going to be on the field with Zach Bond and N'Kobe Dean. They're not going to have three linebackers out there. Now, maybe they want to use him in certain sub packages where you can, you know, make him kind of a stand-up edge rusher, maybe like the Joker role, have him move around. Like, you could do stuff like that. But they're not going to play three linebackers for the majority of the snaps. The majority of snaps are going to have two linebackers and three corners with a nickel out there. So there is the reality that if they were to draft Jahad Campbell, it's probably not good for N'Kobe Dean and not good for Jeremiah Trotter Jr. So Jahad Campbell, 6'3", 235 pounds, huge for a linebacker, long arms, a great tackler, only played off-ball linebacker for two seasons, doesn't really have a ton of history of putting his hand in the ground and being an edge rusher, but an awesome athlete, moves really well in space, has potential in coverage because of how well he moves in space. You can use him as a blitzer, but I don't think he is one of those linebackers that projects to being like an edge rusher. When he did do it, he did win 13% of the time his pass rush win rate, which is pretty good. 13%, you're getting up there to having a really good number when you're at 13, but lined up almost exclusively in the box. And I think had just over 100 snaps in that edge kind of position. So didn't really do it much. He's a chess piece for the defense and they would have to get creative with how to use him. I would be really surprised if they took Jahad Campbell at number 32. Unless they're going to move him to edge full time, I just don't think they'll be taking a linebacker when he's just not really going to be on the field a ton. So next up, at number 64, second round pick, Kevin Winston Jr. out of Penn State. Kuiper writes, Kevin Winston Jr., a safety out of Penn State. Mel Kuiper writes, I closed my second round mock draft last week with Winston to the Eagles. I'm doing it again today. Winston missed almost the entire 2024 season because of a knee injury, but he could absolutely help Philly's safety group. So Kevin Winston Jr., 21 years old, doesn't turn 22 until December. Barely played last year. He tore his ACL after just two games. But had he not, he probably would have been a first round pick this year. Maybe even the top half of the first round. Elite tackler for a safety, really good in coverage, also good against the run, a really high football IQ. He's really good in man coverage. He can do it all. Like, he is an outstanding safety prospect. But the question will be his knee and how he returns from it. So a little similar to Josh Simmons, the tackle out of Ohio State, where, you know, this is a value pick probably at 64. Maybe he's not ready right away, but I think he could end up being a steal at number 64. So I would prefer a Nick Emanwori or a Malachi Starks, but I think Kevin Winston Jr., if you're going to take a safety later, I like Xavier Watts too. I think he would be a good pick at 64 if he's still there. And then finally at number 96, Mel Kuiper Jr. projects the Eagles take CJ West, a defensive tackle out of Indiana. We have not talked about him on the pod at all during this draft process, but Kuiper writes, here's your Milton Williams replacement. West had double-digit run stops in each of his past four seasons and chipped in 9 sacks over that time. So I love the double-digit run stops. Don't love 5 sacks in the last 3 years. I know 9 sacks over the past 4 years, but only 5 the past 3 years. 2 sacks last year, 7.5 tackles for a loss. So what I like about him is, he's 6'1", 316 pounds. Not like an ideal defensive tackle body. Just isn't really like super athletic. Also isn't like super strong. He seems like he's more of an effort player. He does have a really quick first step, which I like, and I know the Eagles like in a defensive lineman. But just not an outstanding athlete. Doesn't have pass rush moves. And, you know, just kind of like, to me, looks like a rotation player. Now, it's the third round, right? So at this point, you're talking about getting guys that can just do snaps for you. And the fact he's good against the run while also being like average, I guess, maybe as a pass rusher is helpful. And the fact he does have a quick first step, maybe he does project to be able to rush the passer better at the NFL. But this pick I don't love. So if they ended up with Jahad Campbell, Kevin Winston Jr., and CJ West for their first three picks, I think that'd be a disappointing draft. Like, CJ West, I'm not big on. Kevin Winston Jr. is coming off of an injury. Good value pick, but coming off an injury. And Jahad Campbell just makes no sense for me at number 32. Could be a great player, and if you add great players, that's ultimately a good thing. But, man, them drafting a stand-up linebacker at 32 would certainly be pretty surprising. So, that will do it for today's podcast. Thank you guys so much for listening. Almost a week away from the draft. Crazy town. As always, he's Elliot. I'm James. Talk to you guys later.